Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms, including, as I mentioned last week, now even Pandora. And Catholic Sports Radio can also now be heard through Breadbox Media. My thanks to them for adding the show to their lineup. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you're subscribing to this show so you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option that you select one time for convenience. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I myself just posted a prayer request in the Facebook group. Also, please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, we're about to hear from someone involved with a sport that, if you know my background, is close to my heart. We often hear of things, projects, people as being exactly that, close to someone's heart. I always say that God blessed me with a special heart, that it has withstood two open heart surgeries and many other health challenges and procedures, yet it has a tremendous capacity to love. You too might have a sport that's near and dear to your heart, and we are blessed to have a Father in heaven that not only gives, not only resides in, but wants to be near and dear to our hearts. In Colossians 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And over all these, put on love, that is, the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." End quote. As we go through this week in the United States of celebrating Thanksgiving, rejoice in the gift of God dwelling within our hearts. Moving on now with episode 43. Since June of 2017, my guest has been the program's second head men's lacrosse coach at Benedictine College, a Catholic institution in Kansas, where he graduated from in 2013. As an undergrad, he was a co-founder of the men's lacrosse club team there. He also has been an assistant coach at Rockhurst University and was the head coach for the boys' lacrosse team at St. Thomas Aquinas, a Catholic high school in Overland Park, Kansas. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mark Blaze.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. Listeners, if this is your first time listening and are wondering, okay, so we just heard about this guest's lacrosse background, but is he Catholic? Well, first of all, every guest on Catholic Sports Radio has to be Catholic. And secondly, Mark, wow, pretty much no question looking at the environment you grew up in that you are very much in the faith.
Definitely. I was definitely blessed with attending some great Catholic institutions, both for high school and college, and also getting my master's degree at Rockhurst University, and just really being surrounded by, great people of the faith, and, blessed with parents and grandparents that were all in the faith as well.
And siblings in your family?
I have two older sisters, and now blessed with, I think we're coming up on six nieces as well. So a lot of girls in my family.
Wow. Wow. A lot of baptisms to attend, it sounds like.
Yes.
Well, in the lead up to today, you told me that your family lived your faith by what's in the sixth chapter of Matthew's gospel. Tell the listeners which passage that is, but more so, where did that approach come from? The church itself or from your parents or maybe both?
I would definitely say that it's kind of been a part of my family for a long time, where the Bible quote is basically, you know, when you give alms, do not blow trumpets. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And it talks about praying in the innermost part of your home. And, you know, when you're fasting, wash your face and things like that. And it was definitely a message that my parents really took home and my grandparents really took home that, you know, at the end of the day, your faith is more about what you're doing on the inside. And I do think that there's some problems with that. I think that with the new evangelization and some of the things that my parents have gone through with Christ Renews His Parish, I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with that. That's something that's really kind of changed about my family is it used to be that we kind of held that within our own circle. But as we've all gotten older and grown into our faith, I would definitely say that we've tried to bring the faith to more different people, but it's definitely, you know, definitely one of the things that, you know, we don't boast about the fact that we're Catholic. We just try to live out our Catholic faith.
Yeah, I agree with you. When I had the opportunity last month to speak in Grand Rapids, Michigan at the Second Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, my message was be bold, that we are called to evangelize. And so while it does say that in the Bible, if none of us went out and spread our faith, then we'd all be hiding our light under a bushel. And there are people that need to be introduced to Christ or they need to be reintroduced to Him. And so if we're not bold and we don't take up the call to evangelization, then yes, we'll have peace in our hearts and we'll have a nice close relationship with God. But at the same time, I think we're falling short in not leading others to Him.
I agree. You know, I definitely would say it was kind of a God moment. I was at daily mass today and the priest was homilizing about the new evangelization. And he was talking about investing in others and how if you invest in others, your return will be tenfold. And that is something that's really difficult for us. And it's something that especially with youth, which is where I've mainly spent most of my efforts with high school and college kids. You're right to say that, you know, kind of bringing people back to the faith is really a difficult thing with all the things that have gone on in the church in the past three decades. And so being that light of, you know, the good that the church does into people's lives and telling people, you know, why you're happy and why you're driven and why you're successful at what you're trying to do is because of your foundation in Christ. I think is one of the greatest witnesses that you can give, especially young people, that, you know, Christ is great and having a relationship with God is, you know, a great thing for your life.
Well, and listeners, a large part of this ministry is exactly what Mark is testifying to, is that if people like Mark who are in a position to influence young student athletes, if professional athletes, if coaches, et cetera, can use their platform to bring others to God, then they should take advantage of that because it is a wonderful opportunity because there is such a quote unquote captive audience that why not be proud of what you have and use it to bring more people back to the Catholic Church since, as Mark just said, we unfortunately have lost people. But we're obviously on the same page here, so let's move on, Mark. Even though you were already raised in the church, as we've been hearing, your freshman year of college brought with it a chance to really shape your struggles and perseverance with your faith life. Talk about that.
Well, I would definitely say that everyone goes through phases of their relationship with God. And, you know, when I graduated high school, you know, although I had a great Catholic education, I didn't have an adult relationship with God. And so my freshman year, when I did go through some hardships, I became an adult. You know, my naivety and innocence was gone. And I was kind of left to try to find my new relationship with God. And luckily for me, you know, I was at a great Catholic institution. I was surrounded by people that were kind of swimming in a good stream towards having a relationship with God and figuring out these answers. And so luckily for me, I was able to kind of forge that relationship with God in a new era of my life as an adult. And that's typically where I've seen the most amount of people fall away from the faith is when, you know, they're transitioning from a relationship with God that's not very complicated and it's simple. And then once you become an adult, it's a lot more complicated. And if we're not continuing to invest in our relationship and continuing to try to communicate with God, you know, we're not going to have that relationship if we don't put effort and communicate with God.
And I remember one time my spiritual director was giving a homily and he said that we really should be like infants, that we are utterly and totally dependent on God the way that an infant is totally and utterly dependent on their parent. And so it's that childlike approach that, like you said, all of a sudden slips away because as we heard Jacob Flores say 2 weeks ago on episode 41, that once you go off to college, all of a sudden there's all kinds of temptations and the real world sets in around you and your focus goes on to all of that instead of keeping it on the Lord.
Exactly. And, you know, that's where Catholic institutions have a great opportunity because if we're all going through this together and you're surrounded by people with the faith, you're less likely to fall away, you know, because maybe if you're struggling in your faith, but your three best friends are still on fire with, you know, Christ's love, then when they're going to Mass on Sunday, it'll push you to go. And so often I think that people stop going to church and, you know, basically fall away from the church and say, well, I don't feel God's presence in my life. And typically it's because they're not open to it and they're not, you know, trying to have that communication. You know, if you stop talking to God and then say, you know, I don't have a relationship with him, you know, that's your fault as well. And so that's a big thing for me is, you know, still continuing to go, even when you're struggling with your faith, you know, putting in that effort.
Nicely said. Nicely said. Since I am a Benedictine oblate to the St. Leo Abbey in Central Florida, it jumps out at me that you say the monks of St. Benedict's Abbey have really shaped your faith life. I'm interested to hear more about that, including when you get time in your schedule to be with the monks and allow them to move in you in this way.
It really started with friendship. Brother Levin at St. Benedict's Abbey would always be in the library, and he would be reading a Royals blog by Rainey Gisarelli, who is a Muslim dermatologist in Chicago. And we bonded over that. That was where our relationship really started. And it started from a friendship. And I learned a lot from him about the fact that monks are normal people and they still follow sports and they still have interests outside of just, you know, work, pray. And so that foundation and that real relationship really blossomed into something where he's someone that continually, you know, helps me grow in my faith. And, you know, when I need a wake up call and need someone to kind of tell me to get back on the horse and get going again, you know, he's there for me, but we also have that relationship. And I've since, you know, grown a lot with many of the monks, at St. Benedict's and typically attend, you know, daily Mass on campus whenever I can. And also, daily, Vespers and so forth.
Fantastic. I saw a quote from you where you said, quote, "Sports are much bigger than one drill or one win. My principal job is to guide and shape young men, not to have the best lacrosse team," end quote. But at the same time, how do you balance that with the fact that while winning isn't everything, you do need to focus on having a competitive program so that Mark Blaze isn't suddenly updating his resume because he put too much time into players' personal lives and not helping them become a more successful lacrosse team?
In my opinion, I think it's all about boiling down some key ideas. So one of the things that I always strive for is to be great in everything that you do. And so whether or not that's on the field, you know, just not settling. And so then at a practice, if not settling, it'll look like, you know, throwing the ball away, turning the ball over too much, settling for your old habits. Well, that transfers into your academic life, your personal life, your faith life. If you're settling, you're never going to get to greatness. And so what I always kind of say is we want to be great in all the things that we do. And so for me, that's what it comes down to is boiling, you know, some lacrosse things, some personal life things and faith life things down to one tangible idea, like being great at all things. They're not settling.
Wow. Wow. I like that. I like that. And thank you for the clarification. You can see that, unfortunately, I am influenced by the world and the pressure for coaches to succeed because it's a what have you done for me lately business. So I love your perspective. Thank you.
No problem.
Mark, you're doing great things with the student athletes there at Benedictine College. And actually, listeners, Mark was recognized for his work earlier this year. Although I do want to mention first that as churches, dioceses, ministries, organizations, etc., are making plans for 2020 and some of the events that will be organized then, if you or maybe someone you're close with have a say in any of that, be reminded that I am available as a speaker for your event. That might be a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry is a fit. Do familiarize yourself with my faith walk and my sports background, both on episode one of this show as well as on the website, and then look for the very short Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on CatholicSportsRadio.net to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this broadcast ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish securely online. And by the way, I'm happy to give you a shout out for doing so, either on social media or even on the show if you wish, or it can remain anonymous. And also, as I've learned from other podcasters whose shows are listener supported, for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I'll give you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net. Pray about it and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel inspired to include in your tithing. Mark, congratulations on being named the Kansas Collegiate Athletic Conference Coach of the Year back in late April. Although, even though we're just meeting each other for the first time, I have a feeling you're going to say that it's not about you, and you'll instead point to the two Benedictine players who were all-conference first team, four others who were all-conference second team. Although I would argue that those accomplishments don't happen without a good coach leading them.
I would definitely put all of the success on the graduating seniors from last year. They were an incredible group of men who shaped me as much as they shaped other people. And they held our team to such a high standard that, you know, as coaches, we can't be dictators. You need a good group of seniors that have high expectations for everything that their team does on and off the field. And that's definitely what we had last year. And that's why the success happened the way it did.
And listeners, if you are really paying attention here, I hope you're dialed in because Mark's answers really show what a true Christian foundation he's working from. Because when he did shift the focus to the players, I was waiting him to name them, to talk about their statistics, to talk about what they did to help the team win. And instead, the first thing he said, Mark, is you talked about what good men they are. So it does go back to those principles that you talked about of be excellent at everything. And so they're good men. And as a result, it did translate to success on the lacrosse field for those guys.
Absolutely.
We've been talking a lot about lacrosse, but I want the listeners to hear about your involvement in your faith away from the field. I mentioned in the intro that you coached the boys lacrosse team at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, but since you were a teacher there, you also had the opportunity to lead retreats. Specifically, tell the listeners about Kairos.
So Kairos is it's a national retreat. Many high schools and parishes and colleges across the United States do it for young adults and teens. It's just a great time. Kairos means God's time. And so it's a good time to reset. There's a lot of really great speakers. It's student led, which is a great thing about it. And so then the adults are just really facilitators, created a really great experience for me. I'm sure that you've heard, you know, in youth ministry, you have to if you only give to your students and you're not focusing on your own faith life, you're going to get burnt out. And so one of the things that I would always do on retreats is I would try to take one moment to one activity to really focus on myself in that moment instead of maybe worrying about what we were going to do next. And that was a really fruitful experience for me, kind of trying to put myself in the student's shoes and help myself grow as in my own faith.
Beautiful, beautiful. This is going to sound like a strange comparison, but it reminds me of when I was going off to the 2008 Olympics, and one of my colleagues that I used to work with said, "Bruce, stop and realize you are going to be one of only 28 PR people in the world working at those Olympics. So take time to step back and appreciate the opportunity that you have there. I know it's a lot of work and I know it's a crazy schedule, but make sure you take some time to kind of pat yourself on the back and absorb where you are there. Because like you said, when you're on a retreat, all you're thinking about is facilitating that and making sure that things are running on time and making sure that everyone's in place, the speakers are there, and all of a sudden it's done and you say, well, it went good, but I guess I didn't really make any time for myself with the Lord, and it's a missed opportunity. So good for you for having that perspective. And, you know, I do often hear a lot of times people like yourselves will come back and the question gets asked, how did it go? And people usually do seem to be asking from the point of, was it facilitated successfully? And so many times the answer is, I got so much from those kids out of that retreat. And I'm sure you found that to be exactly the case.
Exactly. And, you know, when it comes down to it, if the adults aren't putting themselves in those vulnerable situations that we're asking our kids to put themselves into, how can we ask them, and how do we understand what they're getting out of it? And so that was a big thing for me, is always trying to kind of put myself into a different situation and really relate to the kids on what did I think about during this activity, and how do I circle that back into talking to a group individually or talking to one kid individually about his struggles, and kind of tying everything back in.
You're also a member of the Young Alumni Society of St. Benedict's Abbey. What is that all about?
So primarily it is a fellowship group, but also a way for us to get involved at a younger age when maybe we don't have as much money to donate to the Abbey. And so we can donate a small amount per year. And then we usually attend, we have a Christmas party. We usually have an Oktoberfest party. We actually run a couple events that are on the campus. So we have Oktoberfest every year on campus, and there's a beer garden for the seniors that are over 21. And then also we do a graduation party. And so we're basically trying to connect these kids with the Abbey that has given so much to our college over the years. And how do we support them? How do we stay involved with them? And then we also attend their benefit dinner, which is an awesome time for fellowship and meeting people that have been a part of the Abbey, that are oblates, that have been part of the Abbey for 50 years while we're just starting out.
Okay. Well, I don't know what the percentage breakdown is. I imagine that you don't have to be Catholic to attend Benedictine College. So I don't know what your numbers are on the lacrosse team in terms of how many guys are Catholic or not. But I imagine all these different things that we've talked about, whether it's the Young Alumni Society, even those Kairos retreats that you talked about that you went on, the fact that you do have close relationships with the monks, I'm assuming that you're able to transfer a lot of the takeaways from all those different things I just listed to your lacrosse team.
I would say it's definitely complicated sometimes with, you know, especially boys, and lacrosse is, you know, a sport that traditionally is private schools and Catholics, but we have a big mix. I would say that our locker room is about 60% Catholic. And so there's a lot of code switching where, you know, I'm really trying to move everyone forward in every aspect of their life. And so if I have a kid on my team who already is a very strong Catholic, that might mean for me individually talking to him and pushing him to get a spiritual advisor or go on a mission trip or push himself, where I also have someone in the same locker room who has been hurt by the church before and doesn't have an active relationship with God. And so then how do I minister to them? And so really a lot of the things that we're doing full team are trying to be inclusive and trying to show people that, you know, the Word of God is a way of life, and that way of life is far better than any other way of life. And so I try to bring that to my guys, and that, you know, looks a lot different every year. You know, sometimes we just have quotes before practice instead of praying. And so sometimes those are non-secular, but like I said, they relate to your faith. Or, you know, this past fall, we had six weeks of practice, and I exclusively had quotes from the Rule of St. Benedict to start practice.
Okay.
And so kind of switching it up for the guys and making everyone feel involved and in a place where that they're accepted, whether or not they're Catholic right now or Christian or wherever they are in their faith journey.
Gotcha. Well, we're about out of time, but just two final questions. I wish I would have made this a regular practice effective with the first ever interview that I did for Catholic Sports Radio. But since I've asked a couple guests here and there along the way to what is now episode 43, what about Sunday Mass? Tell the listeners what parish you belong to and anything you might want to add about being a part of that church community.
I belong to Queen of the Holy Rosary in Overland Park. And it is, I actually just recently joined 2 months ago. My wife and I moved to a house in June, and it's a great parish. They do a ton of great stuff. There's a really nice mix of older parishioners and younger parishioners. And I would definitely say get involved in your parish. I spent the last year at a different parish, and I wasn't feeling fulfilled. It's important to still continue going, in my opinion. And I think there's value in continuing to go to your parish that you're supposed to. But obviously, you have to do what's best for your own spiritual life.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't a dumb question, because I could just hear the listeners saying, "Where do you think he goes to Mass, Bruce? He's got a church there on campus. He probably goes there every Sunday." So I'm glad that you made me look good and tell us where you're attending now. Since this question is time sensitive, I can ask you the final question. What will you do for Thanksgiving?
I will be spending my time with my family and making some mac and cheese for my extended family. It'll probably be about 40. I think I'm almost at the point where I want a holiday with less people. My Christmas is like 60 people and Thanksgiving's 40. So it's a wild time.
So you'll be there in Kansas?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, Mark, God bless you. Thanks for your time. Really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Listeners, let's close with a prayer for coaches, since that is Mark's role currently at the Benedictine College. And let's do it together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we pray for our coaches. We thank you for their unselfish dedication to the team. We thank you for the hours they have dedicated to the team and for the honor that they bring to their school by their leadership and commitment. Lord God, bless our coaches in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.